Well, hello, boys and girls, and welcome back to Reading with Rick. I bet you thought that I got lost in the magic treehouse last night, didn't you? No, we're back. We're going to go back to the magic treehouse tonight. I wonder where Jack and Annie will end up this adventure. We're going to find out in a little bit, but first, we're going to start tonight with a brand new book. And we're going to hear about Shelley Bean, the Sports Queen. Now, Shelley Bean, the Sports Queen is a book that was written by an author from right around our area. She grew up in Brainerd. And her name is Shelley Boyum Breen. She wrote a bunch of these books about Shelley Bean, the Sports Queen, and all kinds of sports adventures that Shelley Bean has. And as we look at this book, it says it's illustrated by Marika Heinlein, and she drew some great pictures. In our second book tonight, we'll go back to the Magic Treehouse again. Now, if you know the Magic Treehouse, you know that these books kind of go in order. Like the dinosaur book was book number one. And then it went 2, 3, and 4, but I don't have books 5, 6, and 7. So I'm skipping ahead to book number 8 tonight. And this one is called Midnight on the Moon. Yeah, we're going to the moon tonight. I wonder if it's a full moon tonight. I'm looking out my window here, and is it cloudy? I gotta pull the curtain out. Not too cloudy. We might be able to see the moon tonight, but that's where Jack and his little sister Annie are headed tonight on the Magic Treehouse. But it's time to start reading, but we want to say good job today to Brady Kowalczyk. Brady did all of his homework, and he got it done in time, and I'm sure, Brady, you did a real good job, so able to listen tonight to Reading with Rick. Good job, Brady. Keep it up. How's that school on the computer learning going? For everybody. It's a little different, isn't it? But we'll get used to it in a hurry. And your teachers, boy, I bet you can't wait to get back to school and give them a big hug. I know everybody misses the teachers, and I know the teachers are missing all of you kids. But we'll get together again before you know it, and just hang in there and keep doing your best. And doing your best is a lot of what Shelley Bean's books are about. Shelley Bean, the Sports Queen, tonight Shelley Bean is going to play basketball. And on the front cover of this book, you've got Shelley, and she's got a basketball in her hand. It looks like she fell down and skinned her knee. She's got a Band-Aid on her knee, and her dog is kind of nipping at her heels, and there's one of her friends there helping her play basketball. That's Mason, one of her best buddies. And on the first page of the book, the author of the book always tells you who the stars of the story are going to be. Of course, Shelley Bean, the Sports Queen, is in the story, but so are her co-mascots, her two dogs, Spike and Buster. Spike's wearing a hat, and Buster's carrying a hat in his mouth. And then Shelley Bean's two friends, best buddies Maya and Mason. So that's who we're going to hear about tonight in Shelley Bean, the Sports Queen, Plays Basketball. Let's get started with tonight's story. One sunny day, Shelley Bean was playing in the backyard with her dog Spike when she heard the sound of a basketball bouncing nearby. Boing, boing. It sure sounded fun. And Shelley says to Spike, "Do you hear that, Spike? Someone's shooting hoops." And she ran out to the curb and saw her friends Maya and Mason playing basketball. Shelley ran over to join them, and Spike couldn't wait to see his friend Buster. So Spike and Buster are the two dogs, and they're going to play together too. And Mason says, "Hey, Bean, want to play?" And Shelley Bean says, "Sure. Can someone show me how?" So Shelley doesn't know how to play basketball, but her friends are going to show her. And we turn the page, and Mason has the basketball, and he shoots it, and the ball leaves his hand and goes swoosh through the net. And Mason says, "It's all in the wrist, Shelley. See?" Shelly Bean tried to copy Mason, but it wasn't even close. Then Maya tried. Her shot went all the way over the basket and missed everything. So they're out in the driveway, and they're playing, and they're shooting at the basket, and the dogs are playing in the grass. Shelly Bean watched and listened closely to Mason as he gave some good advice. And Mason says, "Pretend your arm is a goose's neck, and then your hand is its head, like this. And then let the ball roll off your fingertips." And Shelly is picturing a goose in her mind, and the goose's body, and then the long neck, and then the head points out with the bill. And she says, "I think I get it." And Shelly did just as Mason said, and this time the ball tapped the backboard and dropped through the hoop. And Maya says, "Honk, honk," just like the sound a goose would make. But Shelly made her first basket. A few neighborhood kids and Shelly's brother even stopped to see what was going on. Shelly Bean really felt great. As she was playing basketball and having all kinds of fun, "Woohoo!" yelled Maya and Mason. And now all of a sudden, there's a lot of folks watching them play basketball. Kids from all over the neighborhood. Some on bikes, and there's a girl pulling another little girl in a wagon, and some older kids and some younger kids, and the dogs are still playing in the grass. "I know what would be fun," said Mason. "Let's play dunk." Shelly Bean couldn't wait to learn a new game, but Maya wasn't so sure. Shelly Bean said, "What's that?" Mason explained the rules of dunk, and the rules of dunk are, 1, take a shot, and if you make it, then other players have to make it from the same spot. The second rule is, if they miss, they get the letter D for dunk. The third rule, if they make it, they get to pick the next spot. The fourth rule, the first one to spell dunk is out of the game. And the fifth rule, the last one in the game wins. Well, after taking several turns, Mason had a D, so he had missed a shot. Shelly Bean had a DU, so she had missed two shots. And Maya had a DUN. So she had missed three shots. One more miss, and Maya was out of the game. Maya says, "I'm just no good at this game. You guys are way better." Maya was frustrated, but Shelly refused to let her best friend give up. "It just takes practice. Remember how hard it was for me to learn how to skate last winter? I fell down tons of times." And Maya gave it another try. This time she got really close, but the ball rolled around the rim of the hoop and fell off the side. "Try shooting with just one hand, Maya. It's easier to get a good arch in your throw." And that's Mason helping Maya with some hints. But only Shelly Bean and Mason were left in the game. Shelly made a great shot, but Mason missed. "Uh-oh," said Mason. "I spelled dunk, so you win, Shelly Bean." And Shelly is given a high five to Mason and to Maya. And Shelly says, "I won." And Mason is congratulating her and saying, "Awesome, Shelly Bean." Maya was ready to be done, and she threw the ball over her shoulder saying, "Oh, well, maybe I'll have a better game tomorrow." And when Maya, what she didn't know, when she just threw the ball over her shoulder without even looking, swish, it went right through the basket. And they all laughed. Learning a new sport together is super fun, thought Shelly. And Mason says, "No way, Maya, that was an unbelievable shot." And then Shelly Bean says, "I want to try that." Shelly realized she could practice shooting baskets anywhere, even the laundry room. Shoot tissues in the trash, a towel in the hamper. Uh-oh, Shelly Bean's towel landed on her dad's head instead. But her dad wasn't mad. He says, "Nice shot, Beanaroo." That must be his nickname for Shelly Bean, Beanaroo. Well, after bath time, Shelly looked up at the posters in her room and thought maybe one day there'll be a poster of her playing basketball up there. And it looks like she's got a poster of a soccer player and a basketball player And she's laying on her bed, and her hands are behind her head, leaning on a pillow, and she's just looking up at the posters, dreaming, and her dog is cuddled up next to her on the bed. Shelly Bean made a new basketball charm and carefully placed it on her crown of sports. "I am Shelly Bean, the sports queen." She placed the crown on her head, stood tall in front of her mirror, and thought, "I wonder what awesome sport I'll learn next." And that is a great book. That's the end of Shelly Bean, the Sports Queen. And this one was titled, Shelly Bean, the Sports Queen Plays Basketball. What a great story, by Shelly Boyum Breen. She is a really good writer and a good drawer. Marika Heinlein drew some great pictures of them playing basketball and learning how to play basketball. Mason and Maya and Shelly Bean, and of course, Buster and Spike, their two dogs, were playing as well. Couple of more books. We'll learn more about Shelly Bean and some of the other things. I did a story earlier today about Shelly Bean learning how to swim across the pool. And maybe your mom and dad can play that one for you. If you're not ready to go to bed, maybe you are ready to go to bed. Maybe you had a really full day of playing and learning, and you're getting a little tired. It's almost dark out, isn't it, as I look out the window again. And, almost bedtime. So we're going to do our little break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to go back to the Magic Treehouse. So we want to thank everybody for listening again. I know the Kleins are listening. They are some of my really, really, really good listeners. The Klein boys, Carson and Blake and Lane. Thanks, guys, for staying up with me and listening. I love it when you guys listen. And the Pittmans, I love them listening. And, oh, boy, the Williams and the Youngs and all those good folks, they're all listening. So we really appreciate that. And maybe you'll stay up. Mom and Dad will let you stay up and listen to Midnight on the Moon, Magic Treehouse, book number 8. So that's what's going to be read to you when we come back. Another trip to the Magic Treehouse with Jack and Annie. They're going to the moon when we come back. Good night and be good tomorrow. Welcome back, everybody. We want to, welcome in all of our listeners, and we're going to read now about the Magic Treehouse and Midnight on the Moon. And we want to say hi to Brody and Emma Williams. They're listening. They're some of my really good listeners. And are you ready to go to the moon with Jack and Annie? I am. Let's get started. This is Magic Treehouse Midnight on the Moon, written by Mary Pope Osborne. Just like all of the other books, this is into 10 chapters, so that really works out pretty nice. None of the chapters are too long, and we get done at a pretty good time. So let's go. Chapter 1. Actually, there is a little bit different. There's a beginning to this book before the chapter, so let's read that. It says prologue. That means before. Prologue. One summer day in Frog Creek, Pennsylvania, a mysterious treehouse appeared in the woods. 8-year-old Jack and his 7-year-old sister Annie climbed into the treehouse. The treehouse was filled with books, and it was magic. It could go any place that was in a book. All Jack and Annie had to do was point to a picture and wish to go there. They had visited dinosaurs, knights, an Egyptian queen, and pirates. And along the way, they discovered that the treehouse belonged to Morgan Le Fay. Morgan was a magical librarian from the time of King Arthur. She traveled through time and space gathering books for her library. One day, Jack and Annie found a note that said Morgan was under a spell. Jack and Annie set out in the magic treehouse to find 4 special things that would free her from the spell. With the help of a mouse named Peanut, Jack and Annie found the first thing in Old Japan, the second in the Amazon rainforest, and the third in the Ice Age. Now, we might have to go back and read those stories when I get those books, because I don't have those books, so we're going to skip ahead just a little bit, and that's where I really need you to help me use your imagination. So now, Jack, Annie, and Peanut are ready to find the last thing to break the spell in Midnight on the Moon. Now, Chapter 1 is called By Moonlight. Jack, whispered a voice, and Jack opened his eyes. He saw a figure in the moonlight. Wake up, get dressed. It was his sister, Annie. Jack turned on his lamp and rubbed his eyes. Annie was standing beside his bed. She wore jeans and a sweatshirt. Let's go to the treehouse, she said. What time is it? Asked Jack as he put on his glasses. Don't look at your clock, said Annie. Jack looked at his clock. Oh, man, it's midnight. It's too dark. No, it isn't. The moon makes it bright enough to see, said Annie. Wait till morning, said Jack. No, now, said Annie. We have to find the 4th M thing. I have a feeling that the full moon might help us. That's nuts, said Jack. I want to sleep. You can sleep when we come back home, said Annie. No time will have passed. Jack sighed. Oh, brother, he said. But he got out of bed. Yay, whispered Annie. Meet you at the back door. And she tiptoed out of Jack's room. Jack yawned. He pulled on his jeans and sneakers and a sweatshirt. He put his notebook and pencil into his backpack, and then he crept down the stairs. Annie opened the back door, and quietly they stepped outside. Wait, said Jack, we need a flashlight. No, we don't. I told you, the moon will light our way, said Annie, and she took off. Jack sighed and followed behind her. Annie was right, thought Jack. The moon was so bright that he could see his shadow. Everything seemed washed with silver. Soon they left their street. Annie led the way into the Frog Creek woods. It was much darker under the shadows of the trees. Jack looked up, searching for the treehouse. There, said Annie. The magic treehouse was shining in the moonlight. Annie grabbed the rope ladder and started climbing up. Careful, go slowly, said Jack. He followed her up the ladder and into the treehouse. Moonlight streamed through the window. It shone on the letter M that shimmered on the wooden floor. It shone on the 3 M things that rested on the M, a moonstone from the time of the ninjas, a mango from the Amazon rainforest, and a mammoth bone from the Ice Age. We need just one more M thing, said Annie, to free Morgan from her spell. Squeak! Peanut! Said Annie. In the dim light, Jack saw the tiny mouse. She sat on an open book. You didn't expect to see us this late, did you? Said Annie. She picked up Peanut, and Jack picked up the open book. So, where are we going this time? Annie asked. Jack held the book up to the moonlight. Uh-oh, he said. I knew we should have brought a flashlight. I can't read a thing. He could make out diagrams and shadowy pictures, but he couldn't read a word. Look at the cover, said Annie. The letters were bigger on the cover. Jack squinted at them. It's called Hello Moon, he said. Annie gasped. We're going to the moon? Of course not, said Jack. It's impossible to go to the moon without tons of equipment. Why? There's no air. We couldn't breathe. Not only that, we'd boil to death if it was day and freeze to death if it was night. Yikes, said Annie. So where do you think we're going? Maybe a place where people train to be astronauts, said Jack. That sounds neat, said Annie. Yeah, said Jack. He'd always wanted to meet astronauts and space scientists. So say the wish, said Annie. Jack opened the book again. He pointed to a picture of a dome-shaped structure. I wish we could go there, he said. The wind started to blow. The treehouse started to spin, and it spun faster and faster and faster. And then everything was silent. Absolutely silent, as quiet and still as silence could be. Chapter 2, Space Motel. Jack opened his eyes. He looked out the window. The treehouse had landed inside a large white room. What kind of training place is this? Asked Annie. I don't know, said Jack. The room was round. It had no windows. It had white floors and a curved wall lit by bright lights. Hello, Annie called. There was no answer. Where were all the astronauts and space scientists? Jack wondered. There's nobody here, said Annie. How do you know that? Said Jack. I just feel it, said Annie. We'd better find out where we are, said Jack. He looked at the page in the moon book and read the words below the picture of the dome. A moon base was built on the moon in the year 2031. The top of the dome slides open to let spacecrafts enter and leave. Oh, man, Jack whispered. What's wrong? Said Annie. Jack's heart pounded with excitement. He could hardly speak. We've landed inside a moon base, he said. So? Said Annie. So the moon base is on the moon, said Jack. And Annie's eyes widened. We're on the moon? She asked. Jack nodded. The book says the moon base was built in the year 2031. So this book was written after that, which means this book is from the future. Oh, wow, said Annie. Morgan must have gone forward in time to borrow it from a future library. Right, said Jack, and now we're in the future on the moon. Squeak, squeak. Annie and Jack looked at Peanut. The mouse was running around in circles. Poor Peanut, said Annie. She tried to pick the mouse up, but Peanut hid behind the mango on the letter M. Maybe she's nervous about being on the moon, said Annie. She's not the only one, said Jack. He let out a deep breath, then he pushed his glasses into place. So what's a moon base? Asked Annie. And Jack looked at the book and read out loud, when scientists visit the moon for short periods, they eat and sleep in the moon base. A space motel, said Annie. I guess, said Jack, and read more. The small base has a landing chamber and a room for storing spacesuits. Air and temperature controls make breathing possible. So that's why we can breathe, Jack said. Let's explore, said Annie. We have to find the fourth thing for Morgan. No, first we should study this map, said Jack, and he pulled out his notebook. You study it, said Annie. Jack copied the map. Then he drew in the treehouse. And his drawing showed the round dome and the spacesuit storeroom where the roof came open to allow rockets to come in and land, and the treehouse. Okay, he said and pointed at the X in his drawing. We're here. Jack looked up. Annie was gone. Oh, brother, Jack said. As usual, she'd left without him before they could even make a plan. Jack put the moon book and pencil into his pack. Carrying his notebook and backpack, he started out the window. Squeak, squeak. Jack looked back at Peanut. The mouse was running back and forth on the M. Stay here and be safe, said Jack. We'll be back soon. Jack swung himself over the windowsill. His feet touched the floor of the landing chamber. "Annie!" he called, but there was no answer. Jack looked at his diagram. It showed only one way to go. Jack walked along the curved white wall to the stairs. He climbed the steps to a hallway. "Jack, hurry!" And there was Annie at the end of the hallway, standing in the airlock. She peered out a window in a giant door. Jack hurried toward her. Annie stepped aside so he could look out the window, too. "Oh, man," said Jack. What he saw took his breath away. He stared at a rocky, gray land. The land was filled with giant craters and tall mountains. The sun was shining, but the sky was ink black. "Say hi to the moon," Annie said softly. Hey, before we start chapter 3, I want to say, hey, look at Paxton Pittman. Thanks for listening tonight. Paxton wanted to hear his name. There you go, Paxton. All right, chapter 3, Open Sesame. "The fourth M thing must be out there," said Annie. Beside the door was a button with the word open on it. Annie reached for the button. "Wait," Jack grabbed her hand. "There's no air on the moon, remember?" "Oh, right. But we have to go out to find the M thing." "Let's see what the book says," said Jack. He pulled the book out of his pack. He flipped through it until he found a page that showed the surface of the moon and read aloud, "It takes 14 Earth days to equal one day on the moon. No air protects the moon from the sun's rays, so daytime heat reaches 260 degrees. Jack looked at Annie. "I told you our blood would boil if we went out there," he said. "Yuck," she said, and Jack read from the book again. "Moon scientists wear spacesuits, which have controls to keep them from getting too hot or too cold. They have tanks, which provide air for 2 hours. "Where do we get spacesuits?" asked Annie. She looked around, then trotted back down the hall. "Maybe there?" And Jack was studying his map. "Let's try the spacesuit storeroom." "Don't look at the map," said Annie. "Look at the real room." And Jack glanced up. Annie was peering through a doorway off the hall. "There's a ton of space stuff in here," she said, and Jack went to look. Bulky white suits hung from hangers. Air tanks, helmets, gloves, and boots sat in neat rows on shelves. "Wow, it's like the armor room in a castle," said Jack. "Yeah, with huge armor," said Annie. "Let's pick out the smallest stuff," said Jack. "The suits can go over our clothes." Annie found the smallest white suit, and Jack found the next smallest. They stepped into them. Then Annie locked Jack's air tank into place. "Thanks," he said, and he did the same for her. "Thanks," she said. "Gloves," said Jack. He and Annie pulled on white gloves. "Boots," said Annie, and they each pulled on a pair of huge white boots. "Helmet," said Jack, and reached for a helmet. "Wow, they're pretty light," he said. "I thought they'd be like knights' helmets." Jack and Annie put the helmets on. They locked each other's into place. "I can't move my head right or left," said Annie. "Me neither," said Jack. "Let's try walking." Jack and Annie moved clumsily around the room. Jack felt like a fat snowman. "Close your visor," said Annie. They both closed their see-through visors. Cool air filled Jack's helmet. "I can breathe," Annie yelled. Her voice boomed in Jack's ears. "Ow, talk quietly," Jack said. "We have two-way radios inside our helmets." "Sorry," whispered Annie. Jack put the moon book back in his pack. Then he slung the pack over his shoulder. "Okay," he said. "Remember, we only have 2 hours of air in our tanks. So we'd need to find the fourth M thing really fast."
"I hope we can find it," said Annie.
"Me too," said Jack. He knew they could not go home until they did.
"Let's go," said Annie, and she gave Jack a little push.
"Watch it, no goofing off," he said. "We don't want to fall over in these suits."
"Just go, go," said Annie,
and she pushed him out of the room. And they walked back to the airlock.
"Ready," said Annie. "Open sesame." and she pressed the open button. A door slowly slid closed behind them, and a door opened in front of them. And Jack and Annie stepped out onto the moon. Chapter 4. Moon Rabbits.
"Oh, wow," said Annie.
She took a step forward, but Jack stood frozen. He wanted to get a good look at everything first. He stared at the ground. He was standing in a layer of gray dust as fine as powder. Footprints were everywhere. Jack wondered who had made them. He reached into his pack for the moon book. To his surprise, the book was light as a feather. He found a picture of footprints on the moon and read, "The moon has no rain or wind to blow the dust around, so footprints will never wear away naturally, not even in a billion years." "Oh, man," said Jack. The moon was the stillest place he'd ever been. It was as still as a picture, and its stillness would never, ever end. Jack stared at the ink-black sky. A lovely blue and white ball glowed far away. It was Earth. For the first time, it really hit Jack. They were in outer space.
"Look," Annie cried, and she was laughing. She bounded past Jack, almost flying through the air. She landed on her feet, then she jumped again. "I'm a moon rabbit," she called.
And Jack laughed. "How does she do that?" he wondered. And he turned a page in the book and read, "A person weighs less on the moon because of the moon's low gravity and lack of air. So if you weigh 60 pounds on Earth, you would only weigh 10 pounds on the moon."
"Don't just stand there reading," said Annie,
and she grabbed the book from Jack's gloved hand and tossed it into space, and it flew far away. And Jack started after it. He bounded up and down, boing, boing, boing. Now he felt as light as a feather.
"Look," he called to Annie, "I'm a moon rabbit too."
Where Jack's boots hit the ground, moon dust gracefully sprayed into space. The book had landed at the edge of a shallow crater. When Jack reached it, he tried to stop, but his feet slipped. He fell right over and lay on his side. He tried to stand up, but he was off balance. He tried again, but the dust was just too deep, and his spacesuit was too clumsy.
"You okay?" asked Annie.
"I can't get up," said Jack.
"You shouldn't have been goofing off," said Annie.
"You goofed off first," said Jack. "Now help me up, please." Annie started toward him. "Don't fall too," warned Jack.
"I won't."
Annie moved very slowly. She half floated, half walked.
"Give me your hand," she said.
Annie grabbed Jack's hand. She pressed her boot against his and pulled him up. "Thanks," he said.
"No problem," she said. "It was easy. You were really light."
"Thank goodness," said Jack. "It's impossible to get up alone." He picked up the moon book. It was covered with dust, and he brushed it off.
"Oh, wow, look," said Annie,
and she stood at the edge of the crater.
"What is it?" said Jack.
"A moon buggy," said Annie. The buggy was parked in the crater. It had four huge wheels.
Annie said, "Let's go for a ride."
"We can't," said Jack. "We just have 2 hours of air in our tanks, remember?"
"I bet we'll find the M-Think faster if we take the moon buggy,"
Annie bounded into the crater.
"But we can't drive," said Jack.
"I bet I can drive this. It looks easy. Come on," said Annie. And she jumped into the driver's seat.
"But you don't have a license," said Jack.
"Who cares?" said Annie. "There aren't any roads on the moon or stoplights or policemen either." She was right, Jack thought.
"Well, go slow," he said, and he climbed in beside her.
Annie pushed a button labeled on. The moon buggy lurched forward.
"Yikes," said Annie.
"Step on the brake," said Jack. Annie pressed a pedal on the floor, and the buggy stopped with a jerk.
"Whew," she said.
"It must be in reverse," said Jack. "Let me study this." But before he could study anything, Annie pushed another button. The buggy tilted back. Its front wheel started to rise into the air.
"Let me out of here," said Jack.
And Annie pushed more buttons. The buggy's front wheels landed back on the ground, and the buggy leaped forward. "Slower," said Jack. "I can't," said Annie. "I don't know how." Annie steered the buggy over the tracks on the ground. The wide wheels kept it from sinking into the deep dust. "Careful," said Jack. The buggy zoomed out of the crater. Gray clouds of dust rose behind them as they took off across the moon. Chapter 5. Hang on. Annie drove the moon buggy over bumps and hollows. It bucked like a bronco. "I'm going through there," she pointed to an opening between two mountains, and Jack held onto the dashboard. The buggy bumped toward the opening and shot through. On the other side, the ground was even rockier. "Look for the fourth M thing," said Annie, bouncing up and down. Jack groaned. Looking for anything on this wild ride was impossible. "Slow down," he said. "How?" "Try pressing on the brake pedal on the floor." Slowly, Annie pressed on the brake, and the buggy did slow down. Jack sighed with relief. The ride was still bumpy, but now, at least, he could take a good look at the moon because they were going slower. He had never been to such a colorless, barren place. There was no green, no blue, no red, no water, no trees, no clouds, only giant gray rocks and craters and an American flag. "Oh, man," said Jack. "That's from the first astronauts who landed on the moon." "And look, a telescope," said Annie. She drove near the flag and telescope. Then she put her foot on the brake until the buggy stopped. She pressed a button that said off. Then she and Jack hopped out. They took a slow, giant step to the site of the first moon landing. Beside the flag was a sign. Annie read it aloud. "Here men from the planet Earth first set foot upon the moon. July 1969 A.D. We came in peace for all mankind." "That's a good message," said Jack. He handed the moon book to Annie. Then he took out his notebook and pencil to copy the sign. "Let's leave our own message," said Annie. "What should we say?" said Jack. "The same thing, but say we're the first kids." Jack turned to a new page in his notebook. In big letters, he wrote their message. "Now we have to sign it," Annie said, and Jack signed his name. Then he passed the notebook and pencil to Annie. She signed her name and passed the notebook back. Jack tore out the piece of paper and put it by the flag, and their note said, "Today the first kids from the planet Earth came to the moon. We came in peace for all children, Jack and Annie." No wind would ever blow the message away. No rain would ever fall on it. It would be there forever unless someone moved it. Thinking of forever made Jack feel dizzy. He shook his head to clear his thoughts. Then he remembered the time. Had 2 hours passed yet? "I wish I had a watch," he said, standing up. "We might be running out of time." "Oh, wow, a moon man," said Annie. "What?" Jack turned to look at her. She was staring through the telescope. Jack walked over to the telescope. Annie stepped aside so he could look too. Jack gasped. In the distance, something was flying above the ground. It looked like a giant man in a space suit. Chapter 6. High Jump. "Who is that?" said Jack. "I don't know," said Annie, "but we'll soon find out," and she started waving. "No," said Jack, and he grabbed her arm. "Let's go back to the base before he gets here." "Why?" said Annie. "We don't know who he is," said Jack. "We don't know if he's friendly or mean or what." "But we can't go back," said Annie. "We haven't found the fourth M thing yet. We won't be able to go home." "It doesn't matter. We can lock the door at the moon base until he goes away," said Jack. "Then we can get new air tanks." Jack hurried to the moon buggy. "Come on!" And he jumped into the driver's seat. Annie gave a little wave to the dot in the sky. Then she climbed into the moon buggy, and the buggy took off. "Careful," said Annie. They bumped over the rocks as Jack turned the buggy around. Then they zoomed toward the pass. Jack steered around craters and rocks. More than once, the buggy nearly tipped over. "Whoa, slow down," said Annie. and they were almost at the mountain pass, and suddenly a cloud of dust flew up in front of them, and the ground trembled. "Watch it!" cried Annie. But Jack couldn't see a thing. He stepped on the brake, and the buggy jerked to a stop. The dust settled. A giant rock had fallen into the narrow pass, and it was stuck between two walls of rock, and they were trapped. Jack quickly found a picture of a giant rock in the moon book and read aloud, "Rocks of all sizes crash into the moon from outer space. These rocks are called meteorites." "Oh, we're lucky that meteorite didn't land on us," said Jack.
"Yeah, and I guess it's too big to be the M thing," said Annie.
She'd climbed out of the moon bug and was standing by the meteorite. It was more than twice as tall as she was. Jack looked at the black sky. The flying thing was nowhere in sight yet.
"We'll have to jump over it," Annie said.
"Jump? I don't think so," said Jack. "It's too high."
"I'm going to try anyway," said Annie.
"Wait, let's think first," said Jack. But Annie was already backing up.
"One, two, three, go," she shouted, and took
giant leaping steps toward the meteorite. When Annie got close to the rock, she pushed off the ground. And then she flew through space and disappeared behind the meteorite.
"Annie," Jack called,
but there was no answer. "Oh, brother," Jack said. He backed up and took off toward the rock. He jumped as high as he could, and then he was flying through space. Jack hit the ground and fell face down into the dust. Jack tried to stand, but his suit was too bulky. He tried to roll over, but his suit made even that impossible. "Oh, no," he groaned, "not again."
"Are you here?" asked Annie. "Did you make it?"
"Yes," said Jack. He was relieved to hear her voice, but he couldn't turn his head to see her. He could only hear her over the radio.
"Can you help me up?" he asked.
"Nope," said Annie.
"Why not?"
"I fell down too," she said. "Oh, brother," Jack sighed, "now we're going to be really in trouble." He tried to stand again and failed.
"Can you see anything?" he asked.
"Just the sky," said Annie.
"Wow, is it weird."
"I'm worried about our air tank," said Jack. "I feel like it's been 2 hours.
"Jack," said Annie.
"And what about the moon man?" said Jack. "Where did he go?"
"Jack," whispered Annie.
"What?"
"He's here. The moon man is here."
"What?"
"He's standing above me."
Chapter 7, The Moon Man. Jack's heart nearly stopped. He could hear Annie talking.
"Hi," she said. "We come in peace."
There was silence. Then Jack heard Annie say,
"Thank you. I have to help my brother up now."
And a moment later, Annie rolled Jack onto his back. Annie rolled Jack onto his back and grabbed his hand and pulled him up.
"Thanks," said Jack once he was standing.
The moon man was a few feet away. His face was hidden by a metal visor. He looked like a spaceman, a huge spaceman, with a giant tank on his back. It was as big as a refrigerator.
"That's a jetpack," said Jack. "I've seen pictures of future astronauts flying with those things. It's like a mini spaceship, right?"
But the moon man didn't answer.
"I don't think he can hear us," said Annie. "He's not hooked up to our radio."
"All right," said Jack. "I'll write him a message."
"Good idea," said Annie.
And Jack pulled out his notebook and pencil and wrote, "We're Jack and Annie. We come in peace from America. Who are you?" And Jack handed the notebook and his pencil to the moon man. They looked tiny in his big hands. The moon man looked down at the message. He looked at the tiny pencil. Then he turned the notebook over. Jack and Annie watched as the moon man put the pencil to the paper. He was writing something very carefully. And finally, he gave the notebook back to Jack. Jack and Annie stared at the marks.
"Stars," said Annie. "He drew stars."
"Maybe it's a space map," said Jack.
"Space map," said Annie. "Hey, Jack, map starts with M."
"Oh, wow," said Jack. "This must be the fourth M thing."
"Let's ask him what his map means," said Annie, and she turned around. "We'll never know now," she said.
"Why?" Jack looked up from the map.
"That's why,"
And Annie pointed. The Moon Man was flying over the mountains. Thanks, Annie cried. Chapter 8. One Star to Another. Who was that guy? Said Jack. What does his map mean?
I don't know, said Annie, but let's see if it works.
Jack took a deep breath. Yeah, we'd better hurry back. I think I'm running out of air. It feels harder to breathe.
For me too, said Annie.
Go slow. Don't breathe too much, said Jack. He and Annie took long floating steps toward the moon base. Jack held his breath as if he were underwater. By the time they got to the white dome, he was ready to burst. Annie pushed a button beside the huge door, and it slid open. They hurried into the airlock. The door closed behind them, and the door to the hallway opened. Jack opened the visor of his helmet and took a long, deep breath and let it out.
Ah.
Let's get out of these suits, said Annie. Good idea. Jack was dying to free his arms and legs. As they moved clumsily into the spacesuit storeroom, Jack felt heavy again. He and Annie unlocked each other's helmets, gloves, and boots and pulled everything off. Then they stepped out of their bulky suits.
Whew, said Jack, and took off his glasses and rubbed his eyes. It was great to be free, even if he no longer felt as light as a feather.
Hurry, Peanut's waiting, said Annie. She led the way down the steps to the bright landing chamber.
Yay, she said softly. Jack was relieved to see the treehouse still there. Soon they'd be headed home. He couldn't wait.
Jack and Annie crawled through the treehouse window.
We're back, Peanut, said Annie.
Squeak, and Peanut ran to the letter M.
We missed you, said Annie, and she patted the mouse's head.
We met a moon man.
Sorry, Peanut, but you have to move, said Jack. We have to put the map on the M.
Annie gently lifted the mouse off the M. Jack tore the star map out of his notebook. He placed it on the M next to the mammoth bone, the mango, and the moonstone. He sighed, then sat back on his heels.
Hand me the Pennsylvania book, he said. They needed the Pennsylvania book to get back home.
There was silence.
Jack turned and looked at Annie.
It's not working, Jack, she said. The book's not here.
What?
Was the map wrong? They looked around the treehouse.
It's definitely not here, said Annie.
Oh, no, Jack's heart sank. He picked up the star map and stared at it.
Squeak, squeak.
Peanut jumped out of Annie's arms and scurried back to the letter M.
I've got an idea, said Jack, and he reached into his pack and took out his pencil.
What are you doing? Said Annie.
You know how you draw a constellation, said Jack? You connect all the stars.
What happens if we try that?
He drew a line from one star to another, and he kept drawing until all the stars were connected.
Let me see, said Annie.
Jack held a paper out so they could both study it.
It looks like a mouse, said Annie.
Yeah, said Jack.
Is there such a thing as a mouse constellation, said Annie?
I don't think so, said Jack.
Squeak!
Annie and Jack looked at Peanut. She was standing on the M.
Oh, wow, Jack, Annie whispered. I think I know what the fourth thing is.
Jack grinned. Me too, he said. It's a...
mouse, they said together.
Squeak, squeak.
Maybe the spell is moonstone, mango, mammoth bone, mouse, said Annie.
Jack touched each M thing in turn as he whispered,
moonstone, mango, mammoth bone, mouse.
Let's say it over and over and see what happens, said Annie.
And together they chanted,
moonstone, mango, mammoth bone, mouse. Moonstone, mango, mammoth bone, mouse.
And suddenly, a bright light filled the treehouse. The light got brighter and brighter and brighter. The brightness was blinding and whirling, and the air spun with brightness. And then, everything was clear. Peanut the Mouse was gone. And Morgan Le Fay stood before Jack and Annie.
Chapter 9. Morgan.
Thank you, Morgan said softly. You have freed me from the magician's spell.
Jack just stared at her.
You were Peanut? Annie said.
Morgan nodded and smiled.
Really? You were with us all the time, said Jack, on all our missions?
Morgan nodded again.
Why did we have to go on this mission to find a mouse, said Jack, if you were always with us?
To break the spell, we had to be on the moon, said Morgan. You could have broken it the minute we arrived.
Oh, that's what you were trying to say, said Annie. We didn't have to leave the moon base at all.
Morgan nodded, smiling.
But the moon man came along to help us, said Annie. He drew a constellation of a mouse. Is he a friend of yours?
Morgan shrugged. Let's just say we had a little talk. He stopped by the moon base while you were out.
The same way you had a talk with the ninja master, right, said Jack, and the monkey and the sorcerer.
Morgan nodded. I always squeak to the ones who helped you.
But how did they understand you? A mouse, said Jack.
And Morgan smiled again.
Certain wise ones understand the language of little creatures, she said. I bet it was you who turned the pages of the book, said Annie, to show us where to go next.
And Morgan nodded.
But who turned you into a mouse, said Annie.
And Morgan frowned. A certain person who likes to play tricks on me, she said. His name is Merlin.
Merlin, said Jack, the greatest magician who ever lived?
Morgan sniffed. He's not that great, she said. He doesn't even know that I have two brave friends who help me.
Us? Said Annie shyly.
Morgan nodded, and I thank you both with all my heart.
You're welcome, said Jack and Annie.
And Morgan handed Annie the Pennsylvania book.
Are you ready to go home now? She asked.
Yes, said Jack and Annie. And Annie pointed to a picture of the Frog Creek woods.
I wish we could go there, she said.
And the treehouse started to spin, and it spun faster and faster and faster. And then everything was still, absolutely still, but only for a moment. Chapter 10. Earth Life. The midnight woods woke up. A breeze rustled the leaves. An owl hooted. The sounds were soft, but very alive. Jack opened his eyes. He pushed his glasses into place. He smiled. Morgan was still with them. He could see her in the moonlight. Her long white hair was shining.
Morgan, can you and the treehouse stay here? Said Annie in Frog Creek.
No, I must leave again, I'm afraid, said Morgan. I've been gone from Camelot for a long time. She handed Jack his pack. She brushed his cheek. Her hand felt soft and cool. A bit of moon dust still on you, she said.
Thank you, Jack, for your great love of knowledge.
You're welcome, said Jack. Morgan tugged on one of Annie's braids.
And thank you, Annie, for your belief in the impossible.
You're welcome, said Annie.
Go home now, said Morgan.
And Jack smiled. Home was Earth, that bright, colorful world where everything was alive and always changing.
Bye, Morgan, said Annie as she started out of the treehouse,
and Jack looked back at Morgan. Will you come back soon, he said.
Anything can happen, said Morgan. The universe is filled with wonders, isn't it, Jack?
He smiled and nodded.
Go now, Morgan said softly.
Jack followed Annie down the rope ladder and stepped onto the ground. The wind started to blow. The trees started to shake. A loud roar filled Jack's ears. He squeezed his eyes shut and covered his ears. And then everything was silent and still. Jack opened his eyes. The ladder was gone. He looked through the leaves and branches of the giant oak tree. Where the treehouse had been was only moonlight now.
Bye, Morgan, he whispered sadly.
Bye, Peanut, said Annie. Jack and Annie stared at the top of the tree for a long time.
Ready? Said Annie,
and Jack nodded, and they started for home. The midnight air felt cool and moist. It was filled with the soft sounds of Earth life. Jack and Annie left the Frog Creek woods and started down their street. Annie glanced up at the sky.
The moon really, really looks far away, doesn't it?
It did, thought Jack. It was.
I wonder how the moon man can be up there all alone, said Annie.
What do you mean? Said Jack.
Who helps him put on his spacesuit, said Annie. Who helps him get up when he falls down?
And who is he? Added Jack.
Who do you think he was? Said Annie.
He must be a scientist or an astronaut from Earth, said Jack.
No, I think he's an alien, said Annie, from another galaxy.
Jack scoffed. What makes you say that?
I just feel it, said Annie.
Wrong, said Jack. There's no proof that aliens exist.
Maybe not now, said Annie, but don't forget, we were in the future.
Oh, brother, said Jack, and they crossed their yard and they climbed onto their back steps. Annie tiptoed inside the house. Jack followed her. Before he shut the door, he glanced up at the moon. Was Annie right, he wondered? Could the moon man have come from another galaxy? Morgan's words came back to him. The universe is filled with wonders, isn't it, Jack? Good night, moon man, Jack whispered, and he closed the door. And that's the end of The Magic Treehouse, Midnight on the Moon. So Jack and Annie left at midnight and ended up on the moon, and they made it back home. Where will they go next on their adventures? We're going to find out. I hope you come back. I hope you have a great day tomorrow. I hope you have a good night's sleep. I hope all your schoolwork goes well. And I hope tomorrow is another great day for you. So we'll see you tomorrow night when we have more Reading with Rick. Good night, everybody.